Now, college athletics is a big business for many universities, often bringing in millions of dollars of revenue annually from ticket sales, merchandising, television contracts, and product endorsements. But the athletes don't get paid, and that's been a growing controversy. It was recently reported that former UW-Madison basketball star Nigel Hayes attempted to organize a boycott of a nationally televised game against Syracuse in 2016. All the players weren't on board, so that boycott never happened. But the subject of paying college athletes remains a hotly debated issue. Zach Bohannon was the captain of the 2014 UW-Madison men's basketball team. He is a supporter of the idea of paying college athletes. Zach, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
And I understand, Zach, that you know when you came to college, came to the team, you didn't like this idea of paying college athletes. What changed your mind?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a great question. So back in 2011, I was a transfer from the United States Air Force Academy, and I kind of got a glimpse into the eyes of the mid-major type NCAA division of college athletics because I played basketball at the academy. And then I came to Wisconsin, and I was actually in a debate class at Communications 262, actually, at UW-Madison. And I took the side, like any typical fan, that I didn't agree with paying college athletes. They didn't need to get paid for a plethora of obvious reasons. And the more and more I started to debate it, I had to go against the other side. And I started to think with my economics cap on, since I was an economics major, and I started to think that, you know what, this makes no sense. The NCAA is an illegal cartel colluding to not let athletes make their fair share on the free market enterprise system. And so that's ultimately what changed my opinion at that time.
And can you talk about the kind of revenue that's involved in Division I college athletics, the big sports, the football and the basketball in particular?
Absolutely. And the biggest number right now that comes to mind is I just saw a statistic the other day that the athletes, which less than 5%, I think it's like 2 or 3% of them, end up making it to the NFL or NBA and making a chunk of their fair market value at the professionalized sports world. But the NCAA is big business in and of itself. Rivals actually the NFL and billions of dollars generated. It actually generates $13 billion annually by college football and college basketball, which is just incredible.
And as we mentioned Nigel Hayes earlier, can you talk about the kind of activism that you and he did and have done on this issue?
Absolutely. So when I was a junior at Wisconsin, I got one of my teammates was. I don't know how he got involved in it, but he got an email, a monthly email from the National Collegiate Players Association, the NCPA, which was led by a union activist, Ramogi Huma, who actually was a former UCLA football player back in the 90s. And he got this group of players together who just kind of stayed progressively active in what was going on with the NCAA and some of the things that took place. And Jared Bergeron ended up getting me involved and told me, hey, Zach, you should apply or you should get on this email distribution list and end up finding a way to reach out to Ramogi. So I ended up reaching out to him. I got on the weekly conference call with some of the other major college football players across the country, and that was kind of what fomented and led to the Northwestern unionization and some of the other things that took place, which ultimately what led me to getting Nigel involved in the lawsuit that he's in.
And yeah, you mentioned that lawsuit. It's not the first, but there have been efforts to unionize at one school and now class action lawsuits. So what are those lawsuits doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first lawsuit, which it kind of became the known lawsuit across the country, was the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. Was quite frankly, Ed O'Bannon was a National Player of the Year, a basketball player at UCLA back in the late 90s. And he saw his son. He came home from work one day and saw his son playing a basketball game. He's like, hey, look, Dad, you're on this video game. And he literally ended up deciding, like, how is that possible that the NCAA can still use his name, image, and likeness without him profiting off of it and not get paid anything in return? So he ultimately sued the NCAA, and that became the name, image, and likeness based on the NCAA saying that they're colluding to not let them use that, which it kind of was a toss-up verdict in the end. It ruled in favor of O'Bannon, but it didn't necessarily make the necessary wholesale changes going forward. The next lawsuit that Ramogi Huma had was Jeffrey Kessler, who's a world-renowned antitrust lawyer who actually brought free agency to the NFL, sued the NCAA in regards to saying that it was an antitrust case that the schools are colluding with one another, in addition with the NCAA, to not let the students make their fair market value. So that's what ultimately Nigel got involved with.
And Zach, in an ideal world, if college athletes got paid, how do you see that working?
For sure. So this is a really touchy subject, and it's hard to get this across, this point of view across a lot of people, and I still don't necessarily, and this is where the strawman article that the NCAA just throws out there, I go, we're not for pay for play. Well, I'm not necessarily for pay for play either. I don't think college athletes should get paid. They should get paid based on their market rate, and they should be able to use their name, image, and likeness to go off and go sign autographs for, or go get their own endorsement deal. At the end of the day, if you're on scholarship as an English major and you write a best-selling novel that sells on Amazon, the English major can make money and profit off of that. If you're a world-renowned engineer who makes a patent who's on a full-ride scholarship, you can still make money off a patent that you make based on your hidden talent or hidden skill that you have. Why should that be any different, and why should it be capped for college athletes just because they're on scholarship and say that that's their fair rate? It's not their fair rate. You see it all the way down the line where all this, like I said, the $13 billion of cash is just getting redistributed to the college coaches, the TV networks, the apparel companies, the schools, the conferences, everyone but the people who is actually doing the real labor.
I want to listen to Nigel Hayes earlier this year on ESPN's Dan Patrick Show. This is from back in March.
Okay, but what do you do if I gave you the opportunity to, you're running the NCAA, you draw it up?
I think it's best to be remove the not paying athletes, and I think you should be allowed the universities to compensate their athletes how they feel, especially the coaches. I know coaches and athletic directors, they agree that players should be paid. They don't say it publicly because they want to avoid the criticism that, you know, I'm receiving for saying this, but I think that they would definitely give the players more because they know some of the things the players have to go to. It's not necessarily agreed that the players want money. It's when they're wanting to do something that they're unable to do. So, for instance, I wanted to see my mother for Thanksgiving freshman year, but I couldn't get home. I couldn't afford a plane ticket.
And that's a story we hear a lot. Players not being able to afford food, not being able, as we heard there, to fly home to see mom on a holiday. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about, Zach?
Absolutely. And you see this all at all different schools. It's not just at Wisconsin. And it's even more pronounced at other schools that don't come from as many as fortunate backgrounds and environments that some of us have at Wisconsin. But it's just it's literally a summation of everything the NCAA stands for. They have millions of these teenagers who accept scholarships to chase their dream of fame and fortune at the price of absolute submission to the whims of an organization, the NCAA, that puts their interests dead last. And that's what Nigel just highlighted, is that it's time for the NCAA to truly open up their eyes. And in me and Nigel's ideal world, it most likely means that the NCAA needs to be blown up totally, because the NCAA has placed the commercial success above its responsibilities of protecting the academic integrity, health, and well-being of the college athlete, and it's not going to change anytime soon with the NCAA in charge.
We're talking about the issue of paying collegiate athletes. Zach Bohannon is with us. He was the captain of the 2014 UW-Madison men's basketball team. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should college athletes be paid, either paid to play or at least allowed to get compensation based on their name, their reputation, their sport outside of the university? How should it work? Do you think a college scholarship is enough of a payment for student athletes? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Zach Bohannon, captain of the 2014 UW-Madison men's basketball team, talking about whether college athletes should be paid or allowed to get outside compensation for their contributions to the often lucrative business of college sports. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? How should it work if there is a change? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. To your calls now. Jeremy is on the line in Ashland. Jeremy, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Absolutely not. College students should not get paid to play the sport. For one, it is a sport. They don't have to play the sport to go to school. Plus, they're, you know, 99% of them are already getting the college scholarships, so they're already getting school for free, so the sport is just a bonus. And on top of it all, you know, you got some of these great big high schools down in the southern part of the country, and even, you know, some up here in the north. If you're going to pay college students, you might as well pay high school students too. Where does it end?
Jeremy, thanks for the call. A lot of the arguments against that you heard there, Zach, including, hey, there's scholarships. You're getting some real value out of this.
Absolutely, and it's a common argument. It's, like I said, a straw man article at the end of the day. I appreciate Jeremy's response to our conversation. But at the end of the day, are you going to limit the compensation that is available for any student who's on scholarship, who has a hidden talent that they've worked their entire life for, or a skill set that they've created on the free market that they're not able to be taken advantage of? So you're saying, like I mentioned in my previous argument, that a college writer who's a college student who's on an English major, he can't profit or she can't profit off of a best-selling novel that they write, or an engineering student is not allowed to go make money off a patent he makes, then you got to make it all across the board. So I disagree with the premise of his basic response.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. Go next to Jim in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I think there was a time in the 50s, the 60s, maybe even to the 70s, when college sports weren't the multi-million, almost billion-dollar industry that it is. I think a percentage of the profits that go to the sports should be set aside for the players. Particularly violent sports such as football, where we now know that concussion syndrome can lead to permanent, you know, harm and damage that students are not aware. Another thing that the last caller should understand is, for example, the professor of engineering doesn't make, you know, the chairman of the engineering department doesn't make multi-millions of dollars that the football coach does, and often the basketball coach does. This disparity between what the students are getting, the student athletes, and the coaches, in comparison even to the university president, shows a gross economic disparity and an inequality that should be addressed. And I'm not saying I have the best formula, but I think it's something that should be looked at. Thank you.
Jim, thanks for that call. And Zach, a related issue, people have pointed, a lot of these players, especially the low-income players coming to schools, are Black. A lot of the coaches making six, seven-figure salaries are white. There's a racial division here, too.
Absolutely, and that's one of the biggest things that people don't like to look at. And Jim made a great point. A couple of them that I want to get into in a second, but you just made a great point in regards to the racial disparity. Taylor Branch, who's a civil rights historian who wrote some extensive research on the civil rights era, and I believe won a Pulitzer Prize of his writing, he wrote a piece called The Shame of College Sports in the Atlantic back in 2011, talking about the college sports scandal that's being taken place right now. And he talked about that the college sports has a whiff of the plantation. And Nigel Hayes has been outspoken about this as well. There's this big disparity between who's doing the majority of the labor. Up to 70% of college football and college basketball players are African-American, with the owners, per se, the coaches, the athletic directors, everyone else, the vast majority being white. And you're seeing this big pay discretion between the two. And Taylor Branch was the one who initially came out and said, talked about that dichotomy. With that said, going back to Jim's question, talking about the engineering professors and deans and whatnot, he makes a phenomenal point in regards to that why should the coaches have this insane salary, or athletic directors have these insane salaries, compared to these professors or deans who are getting their salaries cut because of budget cuts within the school? And where exactly is all that money coming from? Quite frankly, the coach's base salary is in line with some of the professors and deans and whatnot at the university. But their money, the majority of it, and you saw with the recent scandal with Louisville's Rick Pitino, is Louisville actually gave upwards of 90% of the endorsement deal from Adidas to Rick Pitino's $7 million yearly salary. So $6 million is coming directly from the endorsement deal of the school, or of the school's marketing budget for Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, or so forth. One last point I want to make on that is that Bryce Jordan, the former Penn State president emeritus, asked Sonny Vaccaro back in the early 2000s, why should a university be an advertising medium for your industry? And that's where ultimately the money's coming from. And Sonny Vaccaro said, they shouldn't, sir. You sold your souls, and you're going to continue selling them. You can be very moral and righteous in asking me that question, but there's not one of you in this room that's going to turn down any of our money. You're going to take it, and I can only offer it to you. So these endorsement deals are only being offered, and the schools know that they're making up money for some of the lost revenue that they're making. So, Jim, very well done and great point.
Thanks for the call, Jim. We're talking to Zach Bohannon, former captain of the 2014 UW-Madison men's basketball team, about paying athletes in sports. Zach, with this endorsement idea, one worry might be, okay, you've got a handful of marquee players, and they're making a ton of money. And then you've got everybody else, and you know maybe they get a local car dealership or something. I don't know. Is this going to create this huge imbalance among players?
Look, there's already a huge imbalance already. They already get the majority of the publicity, and you're already seeing on top of it, to take it one step further, you're already seeing the imbalance of the pay right now. Now you're seeing all the money being included at the top with the coaches and the athletic directors and whatnot. Why shouldn't that endorsement deal be spread apart and split in a fair share or fair revenue model with the athletes who are actually the ones producing and wearing the endorsement brand and the medium that they're showing on the court and whatnot and on the field? So it's an outrageous argument to say anything differently.
And speaking of endorsements, Zach, I read a story you had. Briefly, could you tell us about it, where you were stopped from entering an arena because you had the wrong water bottle?
Yeah, this I can go talk all day on this one specific issue, but we're getting ready to play against Arizona in the Elite Eight game before we made it to the Final Four, and we're in a pregame shoot-around that morning. And I walk into the arena, and the security is going through our bags and checking everything. And granted, there's not one fan at the open or at the practice. At the closed practice, we're just going in to get our shooting round with our team. Long story short, as the security guard, you can't bring that water bottle in, he says to me. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can't bring in that water bottle. That's not a registered sponsor of the NCAA. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And he's like, okay, you can sit up, you can stand out here all you want. You're not practicing. If you don't get rid of that water bottle, rip the label off, or give me the whole thing. I literally just laughed, and I made it as a joke and sent out a text or a tweet afterwards, and Jay Bills picked up on it, and a bunch of people just laughed and showed that such hypocrisy based on the NCAA standards that someone like me, who's getting stopped at the gate for not even being able to go into a close shoot-around because I didn't have the sponsored water bottle.
We'll leave it there for now, Zach. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for your time.
We've been talking to Zach Bohannon. He was the captain of the 2014 UW-Madison men's basketball team. He is an advocate for compensation of one form or another for college athletes. There is still time for you to share your thoughts on this. Do you agree with him or not? How, if they did get paid, how should it work? You can share your thoughts. You can email ideas@WPR.org. You can also weigh in on the Ideas Network Facebook page.